Good evening.
Good evening.
And happy Thanksgiving to all of you. It is wonderful to be here with you on this day of giving thanks. It is good and proper that we as God's people would gather here together as the world, our nation specifically, is called to give thanks today. As God's people, we do so ourselves. We do so intentionally, coming before our great God, the ultimate giver, the ultimate provider of all of his wonderful gifts, all that we have. And so it is good that we are here remembering God's blessings and benefits to us. May we lift up our hearts and mouths this evening, and specifically now as we praise him with our first hymn, number 797.
Thank you.
of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our first reading is a psalm of thanksgiving, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the earth, to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they went, or as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for our sermon hymn number 803. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. A couple weeks back, I wrote the Pastor's Thoughts column for the newspaper. And as an introduction, I mentioned that you can learn a lot about a country simply by looking at its laws. So, for example, you can find out what the people value. Look at a country's laws, and you'll know just how important they think the freedom of speech is. You'll see just how much people value or devalue human life. Look at a country's laws, and you'll learn about their entire value system and what's important to them. And the same is true when it comes to lawmakers. If you want to know what a lawmaker values, again, just take a look at what laws they pass and endorse. When you look at what a lawgiver prescribes, you again can learn a great deal about what they themselves value. Though I eventually took the article in a different direction, I want to revisit that same idea today. Because in our scripture readings this evening, we're confronted with the great lawgiver. We have the almighty lawgiver, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And through the Apostle Paul, it's really God himself who gives us these rather telling laws for us today. Laws which, again, will tell us a great deal about who God is and what he is like. Verse 4 of our epistle reading says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." What a glorious thing that our God would, as it were, command us to be joyful, to be full of joy, and to be happy, if you will. Though Thanksgiving is technically a secular holiday, the concept of giving thanks and of counting our blessings and rejoicing, it's all deeply centered in a Christian worldview. Not as a one-time act or a once-a-year act, but to rejoice continually, day by day and moment by moment. That is what the word literally means. You see it right there in the word itself, rejoice. Be joyous again. As a prefix, re literally just means to do again. Be joyous and be joyous again, God says, day in, day out. The Lord wants you to be happy. And that tells us a lot about who God is. That he would make delight a duty. God has revealed himself to be a God full of love, full of delight, and as one who wants his people to share his joy with them. So often it seems like people view God as if he were just an angry-faced judge. Or otherwise, they view him as if he were some sort of divine party pooper. They say that God is like a cosmic killjoy who just doesn't want us to have any fun. And that's why, they say, he's given us a bunch of commands. They say because he just doesn't want us to be happy. That's how so many people view God. They act like he's commanded us to be baptized in vinegar rather than in water. But here we can see the true heart of the Lord. His command shows us what God is really like. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord." Again, I say, rejoice. And that is the heart of God. That is who he is, and that is what he values. We serve a joyous God who wants to share his eternal joys with you. In the grand scheme of things, you and I are virtually nothing, cosmic specks of dust. As David looked up to the stars, he asked, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Who am I that God should care and look down upon me?" And all the while, God looks down and says, "These are creatures of my making, whom I desire to be joyful." Dear friends, see how the loving and tender-hearted the Lord is towards you. That he desires to be you to be filled with joy. How that makes the Father's heart sing when he sees his children happy. The Bible says that he will indeed rejoice over you with singing. His heart is gladdened when his children are rejoicing. Those of you who have children, especially young children and grandchildren, I can tell you what the favorite part of the holidays are for you. For it is the same of every parent. Your favorite part of Thanksgiving and Christmas is to see the little ones crawling about the floor. It's to see the little ones so full of joy and giggling about. It pleases you when your children are so pleased themselves. The joy of a child delights your heart as you hear them laughing. How contagious is that joy? You know, even watching videos on YouTube of babies laughing is enough to brighten your day. But that's especially true when it is your own beloved child. For it gives us joy to behold joy in those whom we love. Suppose rather that all the kids came to Thanksgiving dinner. They come in all gloomy and irritable. They come in cold, loveless, and joyless. Suppose they just came and left, having not enjoyed anything, but rather grumbled. That would absolutely ruin your day. In fact, you probably wouldn't want another Thanksgiving for at least 5 years. You just wish that the day would be over and to never come back again. And that is the picture we get of our Heavenly Father. He delights in our delight. He's glad to see us grateful and happy, acting as children should be acting towards their parents. It's such a strange thought that the God of the universe would make joyfulness an obligation. It's not a suggestion, it's not merely an invitation, but it is here commanded. There's a responsibility placed upon the Christian. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. That is God's law for us, and such is his heart, that you would be glad and rejoice. And so with our remaining time together, I want to speak directly to that command itself. Because on the surface, it sounds so unusual. You can't just command somebody to be joyful. You can't just tell a depressed person to stop being depressed and start being happy. In fact, there is a proverb in the Bible that says essentially exactly that. It says, "He that sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes away a garment on a cold day." It goes on saying again, it's like pouring vinegar on a wound when you sing songs to a sorrowful heart. In other words, telling someone to just be happy in the midst of a tragedy can actually tear them down even more. It's to beat a man while he's down, if you will. But that's why it's important to look at this entire command. Because God doesn't just command us to be happy, but rather we are here invited to come to Him, and God will make us happy. Rejoice in the Lord, He says. Rejoicing in the Lord is something that we can always do. Come to the Lord, and you will find always a fresh reason to rejoice and to be thankful. Many people seem to rejoice these days in what they call chance. Or perhaps they call it good fortune or nature. Some might call it happenstance or something like that, but it's all the same thing. They all rejoice in these strokes of luck, as it were. While others even seek to rejoice in themselves and in their own accomplishments. But it goes without saying that there is not a lot of certainty in rejoicing in all of those things. The unbelieving world, they can rejoice in that stuff. Anyone can rejoice in good fortune when things go well. But you can't rejoice in happenstance when things go bad. But dear friends, as we saw in the Lord, you can rejoice always. You look at Paul's life, and it's incredible to think that it was he who first wrote these words. You think about Paul, and you remember everything that he went through, how he was stoned and beaten, how he was chased out of towns and villages. He experienced shipwreck, was bitten by venomous snakes. He experienced lashes from the whip and multiple years in prison, suffering from loneliness. And yet through it all, he's still able to pen these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Because again, his hope wasn't in good fortune, but it was in God himself. Good fortune and luck can let a man down, but God never can. Circumstances can change as fast as the wind blows, but God is the steady rock, which is forever the same. And he is constantly good and gracious to his people. Even amidst tragedy, Paul knew that it was God who was with him. He understood that nothing he went through was because of bad fortune. For what others called bad luck, Paul called providence, brought about by a good and loving Father. And there is hope and comfort in that truth. That nothing we go through is due to some stroke of bad luck. Instead, it is all part of God's good and gracious plan for you. It all remains the will of the sovereign Lord as he works all things together for your good. In everything, God is in control. He remains providentially providing all things. He is still caring for the sparrows, and he is caring infinitely more for you. And so here is something that we can rejoice in this next week. Of course, we thank God for all the wonderful gifts We thank him for the countless blessings that we have both in and outside our home. That is, for family and friends, food, drink, clothing, and shelter. We can praise him for peace and for opportunities, for freedoms and liberties, for all of his wonderful benefits to us. But again, let us make sure that we're intentionally thanking the Lord this week. We aren't thanking good fortune. We don't thank the work of our hands. We don't thank random opportunities as they arise, but we thank God, from whom comes all good things. For every good and precious gift comes down from above. Let us honor God this week. And going forward, may we direct all of our thanks to him alone, knowing that his will is good for us. There is no other God called self. No other God called luck. The Lord, he is God. He is God who has come down to save his people from their sins. He is worthy of praise, who holds all things in the palms of his hands. And in him, beloved, there is always reason to rejoice. As Jesus says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He is the author of salvation, and he is the finisher of our faith. Your salvation is sure as you put your trust in the Lord, who gave himself and his all for you. You are an heir of God himself, who desires to give you his eternal joys in him. And so let us rejoice and be glad. Look to the Lord, knowing that by faith all things shall lead us to our eternal bliss and joy with this God in heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, number 814. you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this evening for the bountiful love that you have poured out upon us. You have graciously lavished upon us the riches of your kindness. And though we have done nothing to deserve your grace, you have shown nothing but grace and favor towards us. You have not dealt us according to our sin, but rather you have washed us clean. You have redeemed us and removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. We ask that you would be with us this evening and in the days to come, that we may rejoice always in this truth. Move your spirit into our hearts and minds, and lead us to give you thanks in all circumstances. Give us the eyes to see that you have all things in your hands and are working all things together for our good. Remind us that in the highs and lows, we have reason to rejoice, knowing that you are still with us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of unity and love, we ask that you would be with our congregation and be with our families, especially over these holidays ahead. Bring us together to love one another as ourselves. As our families and friends gather around the Thanksgiving table, and as we spend the holidays together, we ask that you would be working in our midst. Be in our conversations, that we may use them to build one another up, that we may glorify you, and that we can reflect your love to all people. May our conversations be edifying and God-pleasing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for speaking truth and revealing yourself to us so that we might come into a right relationship with you. Move us to see ourselves as your children and to likewise see the blessings and responsibilities that come with it. Help us to be obedient to you, following your commandments with joyfulness, knowing that they are indeed what's true and proper for us. Help us to glorify your name in our actions and in our words and thoughts. Just lead us to follow you, knowing that your ways are best and that you love us dearly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And merciful Father, we thank you for all the temporal blessings that you have given us. In addition to the eternal blessings and the spiritual life, you have given us the blessings of today. You have given us the blessings of this world of creation that we do not deserve, nor have we often asked for them. But rather, without our prompting, Lord, you give us clothing and homes, food, drink, wealth and health, family, friends, seasonable weather, and the like. And so we thank you, knowing that all good things have come directly from your hand. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all these wonderful gifts. We thank and praise you, and we ask that you would not hold any good thing from us that would be for our benefit. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. may be seated for our departing hymn.